What's up, everybody? You are listening to Behind the Library with your boy Rich, aka Library Monster, and I'm here for another episode. Oh man, what is up? I mean, that's a rhetorical question because we all know what's up. It is insane right now in terms of the politics, the animosity, the nerves out there. This is a crazy world and a crazy country we're living in right now. I mean, okay, so first things first. Apparently, it's Joe Biden. Ladies and gentlemen, President-elect Joe Biden. So, things are, like, I don't know. My reaction to it is very weird because I'm not left. I'm not right. I guess I've taken, you know, political association tests and quizzes. I always come out the same. Very liberal, very left-leaning on social issues. And a bit conservative in my economic issues, and I just tend to listen to the issue first before I make up my mind. I don't like this whole "I'm red, I'm blue" kind of just tribalism, this kind of nonsensical thing that gets us nowhere. We won. We are one country, people. One country. And intelligent people listen to the issue. Let it swirl around their head a little bit, and then formulate an opinion or a position. That's what I thought we were supposed to do, but I don't know. As far as Joe Biden goes, look, I voted for Obama and him twice, but I just don't feel like he's the same guy, man. I honestly think he's too far gone. I think he was just running to get that little check mark, say he was president. I feel like he's early onset dementia is what we're looking at. So really we're going to have President Kamala Harris, which is a whole nother thing. What I found interesting, though, is how, I mean, the news started reporting it across the world. Like, there was actually a news report on how the news was reporting his victory, or quote unquote victory. And it's just every news outlet from here to Japan, just, I mean, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see in my background what I'm pointing out here. Just Paris, France, India, London, just Nigeria. They're all these positive images of Joe Biden being elected president. Now, I don't mind that, like. Yeah, there's a lot of people that are happy he's president. And, you know, part of me is happy he's president. I think that Trump's biggest enemy was Trump himself. I think that his vitriol, he could have worded things better, but he was never a politician. So what are you going to do? What interests me is how these media outlets, which are owned by a handful of people, we know that. There's about five companies control all the information that we get in terms of the mainstream. All of them are taking this position that this is a good thing. So now I'm not here to say whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. It just is. But why do all of these outlets back Biden and not Trump? Is it because he called out the media? Is it because there's some kind of vendetta? I don't know. I just find it, it's just a point of interest, I should say. Now, but the person I think that had the most, I think, astute and intelligent observation throughout this whole process is, or was rather, Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang, and here's the thing, I liked him in the primaries. He was clearly out of his element, though. He, you know, he wasn't ready to be president. That much was obvious. But he has good ideas. Andrew Yang is thinks outside the box. And this is why conservatives hate me, because I'm for UBI. I think that it's basically inevitable at this point. And so Andrew Yang, with his plan for UBI, you know, he was a newcomer. He came in, he had fresh ideas, and I think, you know, people should listen to him more. But what he said about the election overall, and he's taking into context the congressional election as well, is that Democrats really need to readjust their thinking and change tactics. And I'm just going to play the clip for you. It's a very clip, really quick clip here. It's only about a minute and 35 seconds. This is Andrew Yang on the election.
Democrats don't do a good job of speaking to working class people. What do you say to that? You're supposed to be fixing that.
I had that experience countless times on the trail, Don, where I would say, hey, I'm running for president, to a truck driver, retail worker, a waitress in a diner, and they would say, what party? And I say Democrat, and they would flinch, like I'd said something really negative, or I just like had like turned another color or something like that. And there's something deeply wrong when working class Americans have that response to a major party that theoretically is supposed to be fighting for them. So you have to ask yourself, what has the Democratic Party been standing for in their minds? And in their minds, the Democratic Party, unfortunately, has taken on this role of the coastal urban elites who are more concerned about policing various cultural issues than improving their way of life that has been declining for years. And so if you're in that situation, this to me is a fundamental problem for the Democratic Party, because if they don't figure this out, then this polarization and division will get worse, not better.
Is that real or messaging or both?
It's real. I mean, Debbie just said they lost a plant that had 1,500 workers. And so if you're a laid off worker from that plant and you look up and say, what is the Democratic Party doing for me? It's unclear. And we can talk about a unifying message from Joe Biden. He's a naturally very unifying figure. But then there's the reality on the ground, where their way of life has been disintegrating for years. And if we don't address that, then you're going to see a continued acceleration toward the institutional mistrust that animated the Trump vote and will continue to do so.
The Andrew Yang on CNN. And that, I mean, no one said it better thus far. The fact is that working class people flipped largely towards Trump, which is amazing. That should tell you the depth that people on the left and the Democrats have dropped the ball with this one. Democrats used to be the party of working families. They used to be the party of labor unions, of, you know, fighting for a livable wage. And somewhere along the line, they changed and became this weird, you know, arbiter of that which is right and wrong in terms of society. And they took on some of the worst traits of the authoritarian right that I've ever seen. The authoritarian left and the authoritarian right are basically the same animal. And they started listening to these fringe ideological morons, and as a result, people that would have come out Democrat very strongly were left politically homeless. Yeah, and I think they really need to rethink their strategy, because the fact is, this should have been a blowout. Biden should have blown out, or I'd rather say the Democratic nominee, whoever it was, should have blown out Donald Trump. But again, very, very, very close election. So that should tell you something. That should tell the Democrats something. I hope that they learn their lesson and move a little bit further to the center and stop with these ideological crusades, but I just don't see that happening. But it just means they're gonna pay for it in future elections, I think. What was most amusing, I think, about this election is just the passions of some of the less informed, shall we say, people that got involved. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy, the Barbecue, Beer, and Freedom Man. Oh man, this guy was great. He is I don't know what you call it. He seems like a character of someone. Like, I don't know if he's real or not. This is the thing that gets to me. In this upside down world that we live in, right? You don't know what is real and what isn't. So apparently this guy, he comes out, he's all disheveled looking, and he has a t-shirt that says barbecue, beer, and freedom. Now there was an election, I think it was a press conference or something, and he interrupts the press conference, and he just starts railing about how the Biden crime family is stealing the election, and the media is helping them. And it was comical, but at the same time you go, that guy is a real person. Like he I'm gonna try to pull up the video right now because it's really fast, but it's hilarious. Let me see here. It's barbecue, beer, and freedom. This guy. Oh my god. This guy looks like a poor Chris Farley who never made it. He the whole what was the last question the guy says? He goes, this guy, you can't, the thing is, you can't dismiss that man. He has his passions, and he most certainly voted, right? But you can't go, oh, all the damn Trump voters are like this guy. No, 70 million people voted for Trump, okay? They're not all that man, but some of them are. And look, I've seen some crazy lefties too, Eric. But the thing about that guy that got to me was his passion. He was so righteous in what he was saying, but at the same time, it was like a you ever watch WWE wrestling, professional wrestling? He looked like a wrestler giving one of those interview spots. You know, I could just see him going, "You Hulkster, in 6 weeks from Sunday, we're gonna take you." He just had that. He just had that kind of feel to him. And but it's about a very serious issue. So it's amusing, but it's also very sad. It's also very sad because he really, really feels that he's been cheated, that Trump has been cheated, and he's gonna let you know. And so you got to feel for the guy in that he feels an injustice happened and he thinks he's doing the right thing. But at the same time, you could just tell this is not an astute observer of human nature or a deeply philosophical political science professor or anything like that. So you got to kind of go, you got to listen to him. You know, it's free speech. You got to listen to him. That's the beautiful thing about free speech. You have to listen to people, even if you think they're crazy. And so it was such a... it was almost artistic in a way. You know, there was... like, seeing him up there... like, if someone had painted that guy, right? With the barbecue, beer, and freedom shirt, the whole nine. I would have probably stared at that picture for about 20 minutes in a museum and just reflected on what it's invoking in me, what it's telling me. You know, who knows? Maybe he made that t-shirt and was trying to sell it, because apparently this guy has been viewed about 10 million times on YouTube. So, congratulations on your newfound fame, beer guy. Oh, this world, let me tell you. Now, here's what I find almost deplorable. The phoniness. I don't like phoniness. I don't like it. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Because now we're seeing the phoniness come out of a lot of our so-called leadership. Bush. George W. Bush congratulated Joe Biden. He said the election was fundamentally fair and its outcome is clear. Now, if that ain't the damn pot calling the freaking kettle black after the way he was elected. Oh, it just, I'm old enough to remember, right, when everyone hated George W. Bush and had good damn reasons to hate this man. He lied to get us into a war. We got bogged down in that war, and American soldiers died. Okay, this man eviscerated the Fourth Amendment. It boggles the mind how everyone has selective memory of this guy now. Everyone likes George Bush Jr. now. When did that happen? I started looking at after he put his congratulations on social media, and I'm looking and I'm seeing all of these liberals, all of them saying, oh, thank you, that's a real president there, that's President George W. Bush. Then I'm like, what the hell are you, what are you smoking, man? All right, I don't like that guy. He killed a lot of people. A lot of people died because of his decisions, and they were bad decisions. Remember Katrina? Yeah. Hurricane Katrina, a lot of people died, and it was because of him and his lackluster efforts. And 9/11 happened on his watch. You know, who dropped the ball there? You know, and you're going to tell me that this man is somehow better than Trump? Trump's an ass, don't get me wrong. Like, he gets up there and he blathers like an idiot, and you have to go, ugh, someone take his phone away so he doesn't tweet anymore. But he didn't lie to get us into a war. You know, a lot of people did not die on his watch. A lot of Americans. So, I don't get where this love for George W. Bush comes from. I really don't understand it. But it's the phoniness, you know. That's the fishbowl memory. I don't have fishbowl memory. I remember all of this stuff. I lived through it all. The protests, the whole nine. And the fact that people are just willing to just... yeah, that was the past, you know, we can't, no holding grudges here, just, come on, man. Yeah, look, he was the president, and here's the thing I want people to understand about me. For me, the presidency is an institution, it's not a person. I am an America supporter, so I hope to God that Biden and Harris do a wonderful job. They have my support in that, because, we need it. We need good, sound leadership from the top down, especially right now. So, if they do a good job, great. You know, might vote for him again. I don't really see Biden running again, to be honest with you. You know, but if they do a good job, I'll vote for President Harris. Why not? You know? You just want who does the damn job the best. That's all. But I'm saying that you can't just be loyal to brand. You can't have brand loyalty. You can't have Democrat or Republican loyalty. Okay? You have to have American loyalty first. Country first, man. And don't have fishbowl memory. You know, I don't buy these fake people. I don't like it. You know, I get it. When you're in a position of leadership, sometimes you have to put on a smile when all you want to do is just scream. But come on. George Bush, this guy, for real? After everything he did? No, sorry. I can't give him a mulligan on that. Not going to happen. He's not getting a pass. So, that's how I feel about that. And then, the thing, I don't know what must be going on in Trump's head right now. Because it seems like everyone that backed him is turning on him at this point. It is a modern day Othello. It is a tragedy that he's living out at this point. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, Congratulations. He's tweeting this. Congratulations, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Joe, we've had a long and warm personal relationship for nearly 40 years, and I know you as a great friend of Israel. I look forward to working with both of you to further strengthen the special alliance between the U.S. and Israel. Now, that is just a betrayal worthy of Sammy the Bull. Like, how do you... that is a full reversal on how close Netanyahu and Trump were working together. It is, I mean, you can almost picture, like, if you're up on Julius Caesar, right, you can almost picture Trump just being assassinated on the Senate floor and just looking up and it's Netanyahu over there with a knife and he's like, et tu, Brute? Just unbelievable. Unbelievable how fake people in the public eye have to be. Or at least they think they have to be. So it, I just don't know, man. But, you know, at the end of the day, the rest of us, right, those of us that are out there in the real world, we have to just kind of live our lives, you know? We really do just have to live our lives. Just do you and forget all of this shenanigans. Because this is political theater that we're watching. Most of this stuff is an act. I mean, from our reporters to our politicians, they're acting. This is a character that they have. And you're not going to get anything genuine out of them. So live your life and do your thing. Because when you live life to the fullest, you realize how much longer life really is. We have enough time, but did we use it wisely? And I'm going to use that to segue into the book for this week. But first, I have to mention it. This is actually really sad. And it does make you reflect on your own mortality. Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy. He died after a battle with cancer at the age of 80. This guy was a legend. And, you know, it just seemed like, I don't know, he was the best, in the best shape for an 80-year-old with cancer I've ever seen. This guy looked like he didn't age. And he really fought that cancer, man. If you were keeping up with him, he really gave it a hard battle, but we lost him. And the thing that makes me think is just, yes, you know, he lived a life, and now he's gone. But he lived that life, man. You know, he did exactly what he loved to do. Most of his life was in the game show and the public eye, and he was the best. I don't know if they could continue the show without him. I really don't know if they could do... Can you imagine Jeopardy without Alex Trebek? I can't. Who are they going to put there? Like, it's just... It doesn't work. You know? So, that just makes me think that... Look, all of us need to just let go of the bullshit. Let go of it, you know? Do what you're put on this world, on this earth to do. There's plenty of time. There is a lot of time. A lot of people will be saying, man, life is short, only 80 years. Man, no, life is long when you're doing it right. And I used to think life was short until I read this book. I'm about to show you right now, for those of you on YouTube. It's called Seneca and the Shortness of Life. Seneca on the Shortness of Life. Seneca is one of the Stoics and just an amazing philosopher. I love philosophy, as you know. But this book is not very, you know, if you're intimidated by philosophy, you don't want to read about big words like epistemology and what have you, you could easily read this book. It's published by Penguin Books. It is just a great short, it's a short read, but he really goes in on the idea that life is short. And he really goes above and beyond to show you that it's really not that short. It's just we do dumb things with the time that we have. That life has given us more than enough time. But at the same time, if we don't do what we're here to do, it's going to seem very short. And we'll have nothing but regrets when we look back on it. So I'm just going to read a little bit of this. Oh, they're playing me out already. I'm not going to even have any time to read it. It says, here's one that I really love. I'm going to get this quick. I have never believed that there was any genuine good in the things which everyone prays for. What is more, I have found them empty and deballed and shadowy and deceptive colors with nothing inside to match their appearance. Who's talking about things, living for things. There's nothing worth your life and the time that you have. So when you live for things, life seems short. Don't live for things. Live to create the person that you want to be. That's all I have to say today. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Behind the Library. It's your boy, as always, Rich, aka Library Monster, and I'll see you guys next time. Take it easy.